You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome once again to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts because they all provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are real hits, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. Today, we have an episode, a replay of Think, Live, Repeat with John Skomsky. That's Think, Live, Repeat with John Skomsky. And his guest on this episode is Quentin Gause, and it is entitled Training for the NFL in a Hotel Parking Lot. You're going to love this. You're going to love John. You're going to love Quentin. And I encourage you guys to go subscribe right now, right here, to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to Think, Live, Repeat with John Skomsky. Oh, yeah. If you'd like to submit your podcast to be featured on Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn, or you can email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Think, Live, Repeat podcast, a place for people who are looking for simple and actionable ways to bring their lives to the next level. I'm your host, John Skomsky, and I want you to get ready for some amazing conversations as we dive deep into the minds of successful people, how they think intentionally and live differently. Here's just two simple rules. Change doesn't have to be complicated, and change begins with your mind. You literally possess the power to change the direction of your life. So consider yourself warned. If you're not ready to start growing today, you might just want to turn this off now before it's too late.
Welcome, Inward Investors, to another edition of the Think, Live, Repeat podcast. I'm joined with a super talented guest today. He's a pro football player, entrepreneur, and a fitness aficionado. And you can't see him at the moment, but I got to tell you, you go online, he is easily, and I think the other guests would agree with this, he is easily the most shredded individual that has been on this podcast so far. Man I'm talking about is Quentin Gause. Quentin, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on the show today. Thank you.
Absolutely. We chatted a little bit before we started here, and you've got some incredible stories to tell. You've got this journey starting from a young kid, really, to where you are today. So let's segment this off a little bit. Let's start, first of all, with football, because clearly that was a big part of your life and your journey. So you're in school. What was the first thought of football? Did you like it? You went to a game with your dad. How did you decide, hey, you know what? I'd like to be a football player.
Yeah, I would say biggest thing with me is it started off with me and my dad taking me out when I was 4 years old to a track, and we were running and stuff like that. And I was like, Dad, can I go on your back? He was like, no, you gotta run on track. He ran around the whole track, and I actually kept up with him, and I was four. And that's when that dedication started. That's when, like, you know, most kids, like, you're coddled, and you know you're four, you know, you get taken care of, or you get older, you get taken care of. But, like, my dad was always challenging me to, yeah, you don't need, like, hey, at the end of the day, you're not going to get, like, it's not going to be like this when you get older. Like, I'm going to show you what it's like when, you know, you got to work hard for what you get. You know, you go get your kill. You go get for what you want. And that type of mindset growing up helped me love the game of football. Love what I, you know, everything I attack and I do is, like, you got to go get it. You got to turn it on 100% every single time. You got to have an intentional mindset going to everything you do. Same thing with my uncle. My uncle was one of my Pop Warner coaches. And he said, first day, he said, Quentin, you're not going to be a captain.
Wow.
The first day. And that pissed me off. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to show you. So, like, they did that intentionally to grow my mindset, to be a stronger person, to not have something be given to me. So all that coming into... Hopefully that makes sense with all that coming into one, along with my mom focusing on education with us and the family, just all that coming into one, like allowed me to be able to go on the field and play the game of football at a high level, and also off the field, be the best student athlete I could be possible.
Yeah, for sure. So you weren't expecting anyone to hand it to you or whatever. You were going to show up and work for it and dominate.
Yeah, yeah. You had to go out there and put everything you got on the field, and that's the kind of mindset I've always had. I had an IEP growing up. If people don't know what that is, an individual education plan or a 504 plan, and most, you know, kids have that in the education system. If you can't, you know, pass a test in enough time, or maybe you don't have enough time for a test, or maybe you just learn a little bit slower, they put you in a category. And when I say they, the education system puts you in a category to work towards trade school. I mean, which that's not for me, but for some people may like it. But I know for me, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be put into this category. And I knew for a long time, like, I know I don't belong here. I don't know why they put people in these categories, but I'm a creative. I'm a growth hacker. I'm a person that thinks differently, that wants to solve problems. And once I get that problem solved, I'm going to do it at a high level. So that's always been me. Having that IEP, having that, you know, people look at me differently, has always made me work harder. And I know we're going to go into like high school, college a little bit more, but that helped me overcome some barriers that I dealt with when I was younger.
So as you're saying this makes me think here, there's probably a balance between being challenged, right? So your uncle's saying, hey, you're not going to be the team captain. So that's a challenge to say, oh, yes, I will. But there's probably an extent where you can go too far down that road and actually discourage someone from trying. I'm sure you've seen both sides of it being in the sports. I think sports is an arena where you could go one way or the other, right? The tough, they make movies out of these sorts of stories. So what do you think that balance, just from your perspective, what do you think that balance is between challenging someone and getting them to step up, but also not essentially beating them down and discouraging them from moving forward?
Yeah, I think that what he did was perfect, because we actually spoke about it yesterday. It's funny, because I probably would have been, because you see that story, it resonates with me, and it actually made me work harder. So it actually pulled something out of me. Now, for some kids, you may have to like do something different to get them to work hard in that aspect. But for me, that he knew that would get me kind of, you know, fired up. Same thing. He was my, you know, trainer at the gym. But before I could train with him, same thing. He would say, you can't come into the gym until you can complete 100 pushups and 100 sit-ups, like in front of me at one time. And it took me 2 years to complete that. When I was younger, I was like 8 when I approached him with that. But just that mindset, him doing that, like, opened up a lot of doors for me to be the elite athlete I am, along with my dad doing something very similar. But say he didn't do that, maybe that could have hurt my growth. Maybe that wouldn't have challenged me. I feel like kids need that challenge. I feel like sports brings that out of you. But you're right. Like, there's folks that can help damage people by not doing it the right way. If you have a game plan with it, great. That's what he did. But most coaches just like are straight a-holes and be like that to athletes. And it's like, oh, well, he cares about you. It's like, he does, but he's not learning about the student. And he just one-track minded and doesn't know how, he's not versatile in his teaching, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%. And I almost think it takes investment into each individual. So I have a coaching background, not sports, but academics. So I know a little bit about everybody thinks differently. Everybody's motivated differently. Everybody has different thresholds. So I think it takes some time and investment into each individual life to find out this. Okay, so this is how Quentin thinks, and I can push him this far, but, you know, so-and-so, it's a different situation entirely. And learning to essentially optimize your style to each person to help them reach their full potential, which you obviously did. So you're young, you're cranking off the push-ups, the sit-ups, and all this. So then you move into then high school, college. Tell us a little bit about the football experience in those areas.
Long story short, yeah, because this is a very long story, but long story short, like, you know, we didn't have enough money to like travel all the time to different camps, combines, and if people know the football circuit, there's a lot of 7-on-7 camps that go on to help you get scholarships, to get seen by schools. And one big thing that I had to do was fundraise money out of high school and like sell, you know, I don't think they allow you to do it anymore, but I used to sell like cookies and like sell, you know, specific treats and stuff that I would make, and where my aunts and stuff would help me make, and my mom. and I would sell that at school. So I raised about, and then I'll shoot emails out for donations for these trips. So we raised about like $1,500, bought a flight, you know, was able to get everything knocked out, went down to, you know, U.S. Army All-American Combine, was able to compete, was able to get seen by schools, was offered a scholarship from Rutgers University when I was down there on the phone. And it let me know, like, I'm doing the right things, you know, I need to do. So we started investing more money into this. You know, my dad invested a lot of money into this. Like, he definitely liked the traveling and everything. My mom saw it, though. She saw that there was benefits paying off. She didn't have to pay. And then my mom's from Central America. She worked real hard to become a nurse in America, lived in New York, moved to Rochester, New York. So, like, her mindset was like, hey, if you could earn a scholarship to school, that'd be awesome. But she never said that to me. She always, that was like kind of like, and after the fact, but my mindset was like, hey, I want my parents not to have to pay for school. I want to earn it. You know, so that's what kind of led me into the next step of earning that scholarship. And piggybacking a little bit, because I did skip it, eighth grade is when I had an epiphany that helped me realize what I needed to do. Now, that doesn't happen for everybody. Some people have epiphanies down the life, you know, down the road or in their 20s, at points in their 20s. For me, it happened in eighth grade of knowing what I needed to do for my life. It's like, here goes the roadmap. This is what you have to do. All right. Well, for football, it's, you know what school you want to go to, compete, get good film, get a good resume from your film, have good grades, and then make sure you pop up to camps and you'll get seen by, compete very well, and then you'll get seen by schools. Like, if I know the process, I'm going 110% in that process. I'm going to work out in the gym. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m, put the work in. I'm going to do what I need to do. So, like, so God gave me that epiphany. Literally at the playground, I'm playing, and I just like, boom. It comes to me. And I just told my dad, I said, I want to do this. So that all those things happened after the fact. And I earned about 6 scholarships, Rutgers, Syracuse, Oregon, UCLA, a couple other schools, Louisville, a couple other schools, Duke. So like I had opportunities, but my biggest thing was, okay, now, okay, from learning, getting a scholarship and getting it in my hands, now it's about, okay, what can I do to keep it and then be able to become a starter? And then there's the next phases to it. So it's just like, you know, you're developing a business, like there's always baby startup phase, bootstrap phase to, you know, getting those investments, investors, or just, you know, bootstrapping it the whole way through and getting, you know, revenue, gaining profit. So my mindset has always been like, okay, what can I do next? And don't be complacent. It's easy to get complacent. Trust me. Like I have gotten times where I thought I'm Superman all the time, and you can't be Superman all the time. Sometimes you're going to be burned out. Sometimes you're going to have time where, but just don't be complacent. Keep moving forward. So that's the mindset to have.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to be Clark Kent, right? He put on the suit and tie. So I want to park there for just a second. So you had the epiphany in eighth grade, and you use that vision of where you wanted to go to fuel you, right? You got up at 5 a.m., you went to the gym, you did these practices, and you did it for years, right? Eighth grade is a long time from 12th grade, a long time from college, and even a longer time from the pros. So you ground through it for years. So from your perspective, you had this epiphany, right? I think so many of us struggle with follow through because we don't have the vision. We have a direction, so we know we want to go over here. We don't necessarily know what that vision looks like. We haven't visualized it. We haven't pictured in clear detail what it looks like and where we're going. So, you know, a week into practice, it's like 5 a.m. and you're hitting the snooze because it's like, I'll figure it out along the way. So do you have tips if someone is struggling with that? They don't have that clear vision yet. They kind of know what they want to do, but they're just kind of cloudy. What are things you can do to get clarity or to start to paint a clearer picture so that you do have greater motivation to follow through and go, you know, just do the work day in, day out?
What I would say is you got to have goals written down. You got to see where you're going. You have to plan. That's one big thing I feel like a lot of people aren't doing nowadays. What I did when I was in high school, I wrote out, I said, I want a 4.0 in high school. I want to go to the NFL. Well, I want a college scholarship. I would like to go to the NFL. Obviously, that was a little bit longer term. I want to be able to get up early at 5 a.m. and work out. I want to be one of the top performing kids in my class. So I had like particular goals broken down, and I would leave it on my laptop. I'll like take my laptop, I'll put it on my room door. I did see those every day. Some days I didn't see them, but like it was in my head. So then you have your daily goals as well too that you have to write down. So I think if you know where you're going, then you can like kind of lead. You can kind of go in the direction, right direction. Sometimes it's not going to look the way you want it to look. But I always just let people know, like, because I'm a faith-based man. It's like, hey, God's always going to direct you in a certain path. You may have a hope differently. Your list may be different than his list. But my biggest thing is, like, at the end of the day, have something written down to keep yourself motivated and going so you have direction, okay? And then once you do that, then the motivation, everything will come. Distractions are huge. Where you get distracted, then it's easy to fail. Procrastination is huge. Again, like I'm just saying things like that I have been affected with. Like, I put work in, but at the same time, you will get attacked with distractions and procrastination. It'll come in front of you all the time. Hey, you want to come over and hang out? Or hey, come to the bar with the friends. Like, we're about to grab some wings. Cool. Like, you don't want to be like someone that's always in the house all the time. Like, but what are you utilizing your time for? Are you putting in the work are you watching Netflix and then like your friends are I was like, I'm putting in work, guys. No, you're not. Like, what are you doing? And, you know, don't be like these people on social media that are being fake. Like, I try to be as transparent on social media as possible. Let people know about my journey. And I'm very intentional about that. I'm not pulling up in whips and, like, showing off. I'm like, hey, this is me. Like, this is who I am. And I recorded a lot of videos on YouTube back in 2007, 8, 11, 9, 10, recording tons of videos on workouts, video like football videos that were showing my journey. So you literally people can go back and go see that stuff and where I came from. And it's you got to have a vision at the end of the day where you're going. If you to do something you've never done, you got to put some work in that you've never put in before. And it's not going to look, it may not be easy, it may not be pretty, but as long as you keep going, it's going to turn out the way you want to turn out. It may not look, again, it may be hard, but there's only 1% of people that make it to the top. And percenters are people that kept going. If you stop, one thing is guaranteed. And what's that? We all know nothing's going to happen.
Yes. Wow. And I gotta, this is going in the show notes here. To do something you've never done, you got to put work in like you never have. That's gold. That's a gem right there. And, you know, it's so true. On social media, you would think that everybody is a raging success, right? And because you get highlights. In fact, they even have a thing on Instagram called highlights, which is about as fake as it can be because life is not highlights, right? A football game. Watch a football game. You watch the highlights. It's not like watching the whole game. There's downtime, there's losses, there's injuries, there's all of these things. But if you just watch the highlights from, you know, a Sunday night game, you get this idea of what life is like. And then we immediately do, because we, as humans, we compare. That's just, it's in our nature. So my highlight reel doesn't look like your highlight reel. I don't look physically like you do, you know, so clearly I haven't been going to the gym at 5 a.m. since eighth grade, right? Like, you didn't look like you look now back then. You had to put years of consistent work into it.
Consistency.
And yes, consistency. And so this is just, it's really, it's crystallizing in my mind as you're saying that. And I think so many people fall off before that point. They're like, well, I am working, but right, you want to do something you've never done before. So you got to work harder.
Yep.
To get to that point. That is so good. So good.
It's just true, man. It's so true. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, because it's like, if you want to be in, my mindset is being innovative, like, especially like with the business I'm in fitness, but I'm looking to do something innovative within the industry that can impact a lot of lives. And we have some technology that we're working on right now that's going to be involved within corporate wellness. And that's, instead of just being, hey, I could train you. Great. Like, anyone can train anybody, right? I mean, not truthfully, but like, you know, another day, someone can train someone on social media and be like, hey, I'm a trainer. But my biggest thing is like impacting so many lives at one time. How do you do that? So I've constantly gone from training to, you know, starting 3 businesses, but training is my joy, you know, and love. But now I'm diving into, you know, the corporate aspect of it even more and like helping a lot more people on that end. And that's a big thing right there is like, being innovative, man. Like, how can you impact the industry, find that gap, and be able to just impact, I don't know, 5,000 employees, 100,000 employees on the football field? How can you impact 100 teammates during a football game, during practices, during, you know, sprints, during practice? Like, how do you be that leader that you can be? You got to come out your shell. Constantly, I've come out my shell, man. Like, very uncomfortable, come out your shell. Man, when I tell you, like, and again, I'm faith-based. Like, when God tells me, when the Holy Spirit tells me, speak up for yourself. Get up, go up, and go talk. When everybody looks at you like, man, this dude corny. He's so corny. Like, man, get out of here, man. But, like, you believe in yourself that I'm here for a reason, and I'm here to, not for y'all, like, I'm here to prove for myself, too, like, that I belong and that we can do this as a team. And being that leader, that vocal leader. And many a times I had to come up and do that. And I felt that calling for myself to do it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I had to do it. If I didn't, then some opportunity. If I didn't do it, some opportunities wouldn't have happened. And I wouldn't have been team captain.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, for my last year, like, a lot of things wouldn't have happened. And I just, like, I was, like, directed and guided into that position. But you have to be able to, some are called, but everybody doesn't answer the door.
Yeah.
Some are called.
Many are called, few are chosen. There's a biblical reference right there. Yeah. And yeah. And, you know, so we share a similar background in faith. And I see that as, you know, people call it whatever you want to call it, serendipity, God, the universe. I get that. Right. But Ultimately I can look back and see, I mean, I'm having this conversation with you here today. We're having this podcast because over a decade ago, a man literally gave me an opportunity with my first job that not many people had, and I got in the door, and I'm doing this. And then I still keep up with him 10 years later. He's a close friend of mine. And I told him, I texted him, I don't know, like a week ago. And I said, look, man, I just want to let you know, and this was right around the launch of the first episode a few weeks back. And I had no idea then what I would be doing now. No clue, not even remotely. Like, I knew I wanted to help people. I wanted to coach, teach, speak, and other, influence and all those things. But I didn't see it all transpiring this way. But he has surfaced every like 3 or 4 years, it feels like. And it's amazing how it rarely felt comfortable when the opportunity came up. Like you said, like, it's easier not to do it. It's easier not to go. There was an event. It was like 5 years ago. I went down and spoke at it. It would have been really easy not to go. I stayed at a seedy hotel. It was outside of Baltimore. I mean, I had people like knocking on my door in the middle of the night. I'm like not sleeping. I'm supposed to speak the next day. I'm like, why am I even here? Why am I even here? And I took that opportunity that led to something else. You kind of have to be, and it's not my quote. I can't remember who said it, but you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And if you're really going to accomplish things that are in that 1% different, then you got to kind of kiss comfort goodbye and learn to function in that and be ready, like you said, to stand up, even when it's physically uncomfortable, emotionally uncomfortable, relationally, people are looking at you like, what are you doing? All of that can be huge factors.
It's huge. Like, why do you think, example, I like using different people. Why do you think, I was watching Steve Jobs' movie. Adam Sandler. I'm tripping. I just forgot his name. Off of That 70s Show. I don't forgot his name. It'll come to me. Yeah. But Steve Jobs' movie, and I was watching it, and just, hey, they were working out the garage. Obviously, you hear the Bill Gates story, same thing, but they work out of the garage, man. They were like doing what they had to do because they believed in something. They found like the purpose, like him and his partners, they found purpose in what they were doing. And it wasn't easy. And there was times where they really just figured it out. They were making thousands of calls, figuring it out. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, like, if you put the work in, you will be rewarded. If you put the work in, and if you put in, doing the right things to put the work in, you don't want to waste your time either. But those 1%ers, man, the folks that are like 1%ers are the folks that get up early, the folks that are staying up late, putting work in, the folks that will do whatever it takes to achieve their goal. And we have to step out of our comfort zones, man. And like, we're not here on earth just to be comfortable. I feel like people, I got the bag. Okay. You got the bag. You got $1 million. You got more than that. What are you doing with that? Are you now, when you have more money, now you have to be able to be more responsible and do more things with it. You can't just be comfortable just turning up on the boat, the yacht. There's so much more you have to do. There's a different level you have to be at, mindset wise. So to be in that 1%, it takes tenacity. It takes a mindset that is intentional. It takes just utilizing, not wasting time. Procrastination can't be there. You have to be in a different type of mindset. And it's a lot that goes into it, but you got to be uncomfortable. And in this lifestyle, I feel like you got to be uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean like, oh, having a, not living out your car. No, not like that. But like uncomfortable, even if you have the nice house, the nice car, still be uncomfortable. Still be uncomfortable. Keep hungering mm-hmm. for more. Keep hungering to how to help people too. I think on this journey, people forget to help others. That's what we're about, community. We're about being able to build people up. Man wasn't meant to have all the praise. Like we can't handle it. Like we think we can, but we can't. Like everybody can't handle that praise, likes, the follows. We can't handle that.
Yeah.
We need people. We need to be humbled at times. But at the biggest thing at the end of the day is just, you got to be, keep yourself uncomfortable. David Goggins mindset. Keep yourself uncomfortable. Keep challenging yourself every day. And that's going to open up so many doors for you. But that's what I had to do for myself. I constantly do to myself. And I'm going to let you know, like, I'm 100% transparent. I have had times where I felt like I was comfortable. I have had times where I felt like that. And I had to get myself out of it. There's been times like that. When I've been building some businesses, I'm like, okay, well, again, it's not like the roadmap for the league where you know exactly what you're going to step to next for business. Sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know what's next. Like, what do I need to talk to? What's the next steps? And you feel a little bit comfortable at that one step when you need to be going a little bit harder at that one step to get to the next one. So it's like constantly keep yourself in an uncomfortable state to see more amazing things happen. And trust me, you will continually be on your journey. Don't be the car on the road that has a flat tire and you don't want to change it and you have everybody pass by you.
No, that's a good visual. And we're not just talking about, you know, high profile entrepreneurs, NFL players, business owners. This applies in all of life, how you parent your kids. You want to talk about how many people listening here are parents or will be parents, a high percentage. Your parenting is crucial. Like, you are coaching the next generation, the next league, if you will, right? So it is so freaking easy. And I know this because, you know, I have kids, to just do the comfortable thing, but that's the short game. The long game is, how do I want them to turn out 5, 10, 15, 20 years? But that takes work. It takes consistency. So don't get this idea that, you know, oh, well, I don't want to start a business. I don't want to be in the NFL. So this is just like high performer talk. No, this is like people, humankind talk. Doesn't matter the context. If we're going to raise the next generation, if we're going to be strong in our relationships, in our faith, or whatever it happens to be, it means being stretched, stepping out, and doing the work, like you said. And in the interest of your story here, because I do want to get to the 1% thing here, because obviously not many people make it to the NFL. All right, so we're going to pivot here for a second. You made it to the NFL. I mean, how crazy is that? And you graduate from Rutgers with a 4.0, by the way. You have an IEP in school. You graduate college. Rutgers, no less, with a 4.0. I mean, that's huge in and of itself. You end up in the NFL. So what is that like to be a guy from a small town in New York, relatively small town, and then all of a sudden you're on New England, you're in Philly, you're in Denver. I mean, the GOAT is playing in New England. I mean, so what the heck is that like?
Man, what I'll say is, like, at the end of the day, I really didn't get a chance to like really enjoy it the way I wanted to, because I was just so immersed in it. I was just looking at it like, hey, it's just another opportunity. Gotta go hard. You gotta have that mindset of just enjoy the moment for a second. That doesn't mean go party, turn up, ruin the moment, because people do that. But it means just take that time to really enjoy what you accomplished on your journey so far. And a lot of people don't get a chance to do that. And being there, meeting Tom Brady, I was like, hey, how's it going? My name is Quinn Goss. Hi, my name is Tom. Like, such a humble dude.
just I a love humble it. Guy. I love it.
Like, this guy is so low. I was like, well, everybody know who you are, but like, he's just a humble dude, man. I'm like, that's what it's about. And that's why he's the GOAT. That's why he's a guy. He's after, I told one of my one of my athletes this. I told him, hey, man, you gotta be how Tom thinks sometimes, because Tom, one of his athletes, he's transferred schools, and his transcript didn't go through for the other school, and that football season already started. So like right now, he's been training all summer in this transcript. So I told him, Tom Brady, after if he lost a playoff game, he would keep training up through the Super Bowl the same way he would as if he made it. You got to be like that. You got to keep training and practicing that same way. You can't get lazy. That kind of mindset, man, it makes me hungry. I know a lot of people hungry. David Goggins' mindset, just get uncomfortable, man. If you want to see, you see all these people that are doing crazy, amazing things, get uncomfortable. That's why I love, story of Steve Harvey, story of all these different, just get uncomfortable. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs. If you see the vision and you're called to something, go get uncomfortable and go to it. But no, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So while you're on the field, you're part of these teams. Any memories, any memorable plays, experiences? I mean, you shook hands with a goat. So, I mean, I'm already jealous. Anything come to mind? Is just experiences in the NFL that, most people were just watching on our phones or iPad or TV or whatever. And I mean, you're there seeing it. Anything come to mind?
I'll say one of my top experiences was my interception with the Philadelphia Eagles. My first game in preseason, first game playing on the NFL football field, I get an interception and I run it back about 25 yards. I didn't score, but got pushed out of bounds, still standing, got to keep the ball too. So it's actually, I got to get it from my parents' house in New York, but it's up there, man. Yeah. It's cool. Wow. To have a memory like that. And, Tim Gleason, one of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think he's been one of those quarterbacks who's always been second or third string. Yeah. I intercepted him, but he was a vet. I remember watching him in Tampa. I think he was in Tampa Bay as a starter. Yeah. I think he was one of the starters in Tampa Bay at one point. And yeah, it's it lets you those type of memories, man, were pretty amazing. And just going to the Broncos too, playing out there, meeting John Elway. I got a long story about that too, of why actually the Patriots I got released from because of Tom Brady, Deflategate. He came back. I had a tryout in Tampa. I wasn't as prepared. When I mean not prepared, I'm thinking my body's already good from training, from camp practice, from the season. We're already in season, so. And my body was so tired during the tryout. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really tired right now. Doing the tryout, I was gassed. Oh my gosh. That, I think I definitely felt I lost the opportunity because of it. They were looking at me, and it was three other linebackers, but they were looking at me to get me because I had that interception. So lesson learned, this is great for the podcast right here. When I was released from the Patriots, I was at a hotel in the middle of nowhere. And I forgot the name of the city, but it's 20 minutes away from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I was at the hotel just training outside running. I would run 4 or 5 miles, come back to the hotel. I would train on a hotel parking lot. There was no gym in the hotel. Push-up sit-ups, little patch of grass doing some drills. Guys outside smoking weed, smoking outside, hey, hey, what you doing, man? Hey, there you go, good rep. And I'm just focused, man. When I tell you uncomfortable situation, but focused. So I had a trial with the Broncos. I knew that was coming up. I knew that Denver is elevated, so I know it's going to be tough to breathe up there. But when I went to the tryout, I was the most conditioned linebacker at the trial out of 10 linebackers. At the end of the workout, they said, great job. We just wanted to see. So John Elway comes up, shakes my hand. Hey, we just wanted to see if you're conditioned. That's it. So it lets you know from Tampa, I wasn't. It's easy to lose your football conditioning really quickly. And I didn't know that. I didn't know it could happen that quick. It was only a week. It was that quick. And then,
wow.
Yeah, man. Then Denver. That's what happened. Yeah, man. I stuck with Denver. So that just a lesson to be learned in life. Just keep staying prepared. It's easy. Even the greats can get comfortable at some point. Tom has gotten comfortable at some points, probably. It's easy to get comfortable. You can't. You got to keep moving forward. You got to find something to challenge you, man. Just find something to challenge you. And that's going to help you elevate yourself every single level you go to.
I think it's the name of a book. I can't think of the author, but I think it's What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Maybe it's Marshall Goldsmith. I can't remember. But anyways, that just because you were conditioned last week didn't mean you were conditioned this week, right? Like it's this continual thing. So it ties into getting comfortable. Like you said, I think we're definitely getting this theme here throughout the conversation. We get this idea of, oh yeah, like I made all the calls, you know, I got these new accounts, or I was a good parent last week. I did take them to the park. I did take them to the store, whatever. It's like, okay, well, it's a new week. And your point, I mean, you got to continue. Next day, next step, one more thing. You know, Ed Milet talks a lot about that. One, the power of one more. You have to do one more, and then you have to do one more again. And one more is a lot easier than, oh, I got to do 100 more, right? Like, how am I going to be conditioned for the entire season? That's a big ask. You can say, how am I going to be conditioned for tomorrow, for today? How am I going to be a better parent today? How am I going to be a better husband, wife, whatever, today?
Right.
And yeah, wow, what a cool story. Shake John Elway's hand. You shake Tom Brady's hand. You got the ball from the interception. You got some really neat stories, experiences from that.
Yeah, man. Some amazing experiences that I will capture hold on to this entire, to this day.
Let me ask you this, because I have thought of this. And this is just coming to me now. So you made a comment like, I'm just there. I'm grinding. I'm going through it. So you kind of like miss the fact, like, holy, I'm in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, how insane is that? But at the moment, you're probably not thinking that. You're like, I need to work out. I need to do sit-ups and push-ups in the parking lot with these guys smoking weed so I can get ready and be conditioned.
Right.
Any thoughts retroactively looking back? Are there any ways to be more present in a situation, even though you are expected to be top performer, so that you can kind of take it in along the way?
I think it maybe comes down to it was my first year. So I was really tuned in to just making sure I'm staying on the team. Cause I got released from the Eagles. And after that happened, interception and my last game, 6 tackles. I'm like, oh, I made this, at least made practice squad. I'm on practice squad at least. And they released me. And that really hurt. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I going? That's it? Like, that's the league? So at that point, I'm like, dang. So Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Denver Broncos hit me up and hit up my agent the next day after I turned my iPad in. But it's just crazy how fast it moves. So I think I was just, you're basically in survival mode. And even when the season was over for the first year, I felt like I was like, just for a second, I was like, all right, oh, got to train again. Like, I think that's kind of, it's like, I'm always looking behind and I don't like that feeling where it's like, it made me work harder, but that's kind of why I wasn't as present as I used to. And my dad, my brother, like, you're in the NFL. Like, you could be doing, like, listen. And I'm like, I know, but listen, I'm trying to, I got to work to make sure I'm on the team. Not like a normal 9-to-5. You legally, 9-to-5, you get released, was it released? Fired from a job. I think they had like a 60-day, 2-week notice, whatever, to do that, to train somebody else up. Here is like, no, cut, next person. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons. But yeah, I think a good way to answer your question, this is long-winded, but to be more present, just take that time in the morning that you do have. That's why I wake up early. I got 4 or 5. And just be thankful for where you're at. Have gratitude for where you're at. Gratitude for the vehicle that you're driving. Gratitude for the kids that you have. Gratitude that you're alive and you can breathe. Like, out of bed and walk. Like, example, my friend Eric LeGrand. Eric LeGrand, is not, he tackled someone and his bottom half became paralyzed.
Mm.
He's doing amazing things in life right now. But, he's not to the full of his capacity he can with his body. But he's blessed to still do more. So be excited to like walk, to have joy, to breathe, and just appreciate those things. So I think this is the morning time or the evening time where you just have that time of solitude. Just take time to like be appreciative of it. And I think that will allow you to, be in a different type of mindset than I was. I appreciated it, but I was still in survival mode, grind mode.
Yeah. No, that's huge. I think mindfulness is a big thing. And whether it is in the morning, evening, you have a time where you're intentionally thinking through the day, you're practicing gratitude, you're focusing on what was done, what you will, be doing the next day. But just before you go off, because it's really easy. Okay, what am I doing tomorrow? No, hold on. What happened today? How was I blessed today? And, you can go through that whole list. We're breathing, we have food, we have, all that. And then actually when something notable happens, give yourself permission to enjoy that moment at some point rather than just kind of continually going through. All right, so let's pivot here to the business side. So you're an entrepreneur. You've got Iron Visuals, media marketing branding company. You've got No Days Off, which in talking with you here, I clearly understand where that name came from now. So that makes a lot of sense. You have a supplements, a line of supplements, sports supplements. You talk about some technology and stuff. So why don't you just share what's going on? What are you doing on the entrepreneur side, like post NFL now?
Yeah. So my main focus right now has been No Days Off Fitness. I'll just dive into that first. So NoDaysOffFitness.com. You can visit our website. We're a B2C and also B2B business. So I'm going to start off first with B2C. So we help clients get the blueprint of fitness success. So living a better lifestyle. It's not about, hey, I want to shed 60 pounds. Great. Yeah, we could do that. But for everyone, it doesn't happen that fast. Like some people think, get it done next week, get it done in 6 months. The biggest thing is living a better lifestyle that's sustainable to you and where you want to be. How can you do this for the rest of your life? Instead of 2 months, you lose weight or you understand the process and then you get back to where you were before 2 months later. So if you have the blueprint, that's going to help. So we have an entire program that's 10 weeks. And then we also have another 6-week program that we've created for folks on our application, on our app, that allows folks to be able to track meals, be able to get all their workouts in one place, be able to train live with our trainers, and also be able to get meal delivery sent to their house with supplements. We roll out nutrition, all those to their house as well. So there's a whole package that we have. Now that's B2C. B2B, which is business to business, is going to be more on the employee side and corporate wellness. So we actually have a whole program built out that is on the wellness side of things with meditation, with mindset, with therapy, nutrition, talk, health education, and obviously the workouts included in that on an actual platform that you can access on Roku TV, Apple TV, and through our app. So we're working with like 5,000 employees or more, like just going to be able to help folks in just pure wellness to be able to help people increase their sales team be able to be more well-minded and be able to have a better mindset diving into the day instead of being stressed because that's where their money comes from. And also just all employees overall. So that's kind of been the main focus within the businesses I've been working with. I do have a marketing agency that I started back in 2017 called Iron Visuals and then a supplement company. But NDL Fitness has been the bread and butter in the most intentional way possible to help people with their lives.
Wow. So, you're not just attacking this from a traditional sense, right? Of, okay, losing weight. Here's your meal plan. We're going to mail it. I mean, you're using technology. So you're leveraging app, you have an app, you have technology. And I would assume, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit, but in at least the B2C business to client, right? I would assume there's life coaching that's going on as well, right? Like, cause you can't just show up and lose weight. I mean, theoretically you could, but for most people, it requires a change of mind, some lifestyle changes, mindset changes, as well as then, of course, the diet, the exercise, and all of that. So, and then you mentioned mindfulness, meditation. So, are you approaching this more from like a holistic sort of standpoint and making it kind of a lifestyle shift? Is that maybe share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is. We have accountability with our coaches throughout the whole 10-week program for the B2B portion of it. So we have someone that actually gets on and you get on a call every week with them. You have a chance to message them anytime you want throughout, from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. at night. You have access to our coaches. And we want to make sure people, have the ability to just get in, be in front. Basically have that person that's there to help you to get through it when it's those tough moments, virtually and also in person. So that's our biggest thing with it, is being able to leverage technology, also leveraging that community aspect and accountability aspect that has always been there for sports and everything we've done in life, like parents being able to be accountable to their kids, making sure they're following the right rules. Like same thing like with coaching and stuff. Like we want to make sure people are on the right track, and it's about being who you are and helping people, form a new lifestyle. That's huge. Like that's what it's about. For us with B2B, it's very hard to get 5,000 or 100,000 employees to lose 20, 30 pounds each, right? that we probably won't get a chance to meet in person. So to do our biggest goal is to shift the whole lifestyle change and have everyone be in one place at one time, one coach, being able to get that accountability, you know, pushed into them online, virtually around the world. And but lifestyle is huge. Sustainability is huge. Incorporating foods that are, you know, maybe a little, maybe foods that you enjoy, but foods that are healthy too. How do we incorporate those two together? Is a lifestyle. Is not a fad. So.
Wow, that's true. And I can say from personal experience, I've done both. I've had fad diets and they work and then they don't. And you put it on and sometimes more than you did before. And then it's the times we've made lifestyle adjustments that really make the longest lasting impact. And I think that's, and again, that's a consistent theme throughout your entire life, your sports, your business. So as we wrap things up here, lightning round, 30 seconds or less, few questions here, and then we'll wrap up. You can tell people where to find you. And I think they kind of gathered that already. So first one, best piece of advice, or I'll say top three, because everyone's like, best piece of advice. And it's like, oh my gosh, how do I pick that? So top three piece of advice you've been told.
Best piece of advice is going to be for me. Make sure that, I would say that quote. It's kind of a mixed quote, but like, to do something you've never done before, you're really going to have to put work in that you never put in, especially if it's a dream of yours that you've always wanted to accomplish, especially if it's something that's written. Like, you're going to have to ask questions. You're going to have to get uncomfortable, travel some places. You may be confused for a little bit, but as long as you have that direction, that's going to help you get there. But you're going to have to put work in that you never put in. And it's well worth it at the end of the day with the reward that you'll get out of it. If it's impacting someone's life or monetarily, but at the end of the day, yeah, put work in that you never put in before. You got to do some things you never done.
Yeah, beautiful. Mindset or habit? Top three mindset or habit that you'd look back in your life and say, you know what? A lot of my success in life is attributed to this mindset or this habit that you've established.
Mindset, I'll say procrastination, don't procrastinate and getting distracted. So I'll say, mindset wise, like if someone's at the gym, example, you're at the gym and you're working out and there's a conversation that can be had later on the phone or something, I'd rather have it later on the phone. Not to be rude, but I'm that guy that's like, hey, I'm working out. Even if I have headphones out or in, if you're talking to me, I'm still going to just be working out. People just stop and I'll just keep working out. Like people are like, oh, wait, I want to, like, no, I'm just working out. I'll hear, I'm listening, but I'm really not. So it's like, I just need to stay focused on my tasks. So my biggest thing, like this meeting, I made sure I slotted it out enough time for the rest of the evening to have enough time. But say I had it in the middle of the day and have another meeting, I'm like, hey, we got to wrap it up. It's just being intentional with it, because if you're not, you could like really put yourself back a couple months from like wasting time. So that's going to be mindset. And then what was the other one? Mindset or
habit, yeah.
Or habit. Yeah, getting up early, man. Getting up early. Make sure 5 a.m. I could send you a sheet. Actually, just go on Google and type in a chart that breaks down how many percentage of people that get up at from 3 a.m. Actually, they started from 1 a.m., but you need our sleep. 1 a.m. till pretty much 10 p.m. And what's the percentage of people that get up? And you see 3% is, I think it's like, no, 2% is 3 a.m., 4 a.m. was like 3%, and then it was like 6 or 8% was like 5 or 6. So I always like look at 4 a.m. now, because The Rock, all these, I study people. I don't follow people's stuff, but I study it and then apply it to my life. I've always had success at 5 or 5:30, but I increase the time because I get more time. You gotta go to bed earlier, but I get more time throughout the day to do more stuff. Or to get my mindset ready for the day. I like having that peaceful time. So long-winded answer, but just want to make sure people are going to apply it to their life, you know?
And that's tough. But like we said, be comfortable with doing things that are uncomfortable. All right, last question. This might be the hardest one of the entire day here. All right. So over the last 12 months, a song or group, band, singer, whatever, that you have listened to the most.
Okay, song, group, band, listen to the most. I'm going to say there's two. So Silk Sonic, I listened to for some reason. And then also this dude named Pastor Mike. He's an actual pastor, but like he became an artist now. He's just like killing
cool.
his music. So those two, yeah, I've listened to those two.
All right. You survived the lightning round. So how you're all over the place, right? You're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you have websites. So is there a one-stop shop you want people to go to find out more about you? Are there a few different places? How do we connect?
I would say best place, man, because like I know a lot of people may be interested in multiple things. Just go to my Facebook page or you can go to my Instagram. Facebook page, just type in Quentin Gauze and you'll find me. You'll see a picture of me like with my dreadlocks back in the air and it's a black and white picture. And then same thing with Instagram, @QGauze. It's going to be my Instagram. TikTok is same thing. You'll find me on there. I'm real easy to get to. I mainly make sure I reach out to a lot of people. Even if I have thousands of messages, I'm going to make sure I reach out to people because the customer is important and people that are interested, I want to help. So at the end of the day, reach out to me on those platforms.
Awesome. Quentin, this was a lot of fun. I had a blast. We were hitting so many different topics. I feel like a lot of people are going to be helped by what you shared. So thanks for being so open. And I hope we get to meet up in person sometime and continue the conversation.
No, definitely. I appreciate you, John. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. I'm sure you've got some takeaways, and I hope you're feeling inspired and ready to change. Shameless plug here, if you did enjoy the show and are looking for a way to express the gratitude, I'd be incredibly grateful if you left a review. 5 stars is ideal, not gonna lie, and 4 stars would work too. If we're looking at 3 stars or below, maybe take a pass on the whole expressing gratitude thing. All right, enough of the nonsense. Remember, investing inward starts with creating new mindsets which empower you to live differently. So get out there and go become the person you're designed to be. We'll